Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A lot of headlines this morning. Braves wake up this morning in sole possession of first place in the National League East, with the Phillies losing yesterday to the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the Braves rallying from down one after the bullpen couldn't hold the lead. And Austin Riley was the hero as the Braves rallied to beat the Pittsburgh Pirates for a third straight time, win their sixth game in a row. Riley with a, well, it wasn't just Riley, it was also Ozzie Albies. But Riley's 10th home run of the year tied the game at the bottom of the ninth inning, and then Ozzie Albies with a ringing double into right center in the 11th inning that scored Austin Riley with the game-winning run in the Braves rally off the deck, 8-7 to win that game, Hugh. Big win. Nice win.
Yeah, yeah, and they keep the train rolling, John. You know, and I know that, you know, they had to know last night, you know, the way that they've been playing, that they're in a good spot. Philly fell off yesterday, so that puts them in sole possession of first place. Now this weekend is even more important for them, trying to just maintain, hold on to it. Great measuring stick. Team that you started the season with that blanked you, get a little bit of get back. And now you just try to get some distance between you and them. Have them looking at you for a little while.
So the Braves are going to play in Cobb County today at 12:10 afternoon getaway day for the Pittsburgh Pirates. But for the Braves, no rest for the weary. You know, you have this late night. There was a near hour-long rain delay last night before the game ended somewhere around midnight last. Right back up and bounce back and do it again. And the Braves are going to send Julio Teheran to the mound today to face.
He was getting in trouble. He acted like he had beef. Mm-hmm. He didn't really had no beef, though. He ain't want no smoke.
And, you know, Josh Donaldson got suspended for that because of his part in that. But Musgrove didn't. And yet it was Musgrove who, A, hit Josh Donaldson, and Musgrove who initiated the whole incident. And I don't know what Joe Torre, who was our guy. Let's not forget that Joe Torre played for the Braves, played well for the Braves, and led the Braves as the manager of the Braves with Dale Murphy and Bob Horner and Claudel Washington and Brett Butler and that whole team to the division title in 82. I mean, before he went to the Yankees, Joe Torre was the big manager of the Braves. And yet Joe doesn't see, he seems to rule against the Braves a lot. I don't know why.
I'm trying to be fair and balanced in this. Maybe because, you know, Josh, you know, used profanity when he was looking at old boy. And that's probably what it was. I don't know. I mean, that's ridiculous because I think he was just asking, dude, you tried to hit me. I mean, he did try. It looked like he did try to hit him. Yeah. I mean, he tried to crush him.
Right.
So, yeah. I would be a little bit upset behind that. But I think it's probably the profanity-laden, you know, diatribe that he went on that probably was what got him suspended.
So the pitcher throws at you, and he hits you. He just clips you. I mean, and Donaldson thinks he wanted to do more. So Donaldson's staring him down as he's going down to first base a little bit. Don't blame Donaldson. And what escalated this wasn't Donaldson's expletives. It was Musgrove, who, instead of just standing on the mound or turning away or something, comes down off the mound and walks towards Josh
Donaldson.
He's like,
what? Like, what you want?
Yeah,
what
like, you what you want? So, and, I mean, to me, you know, it's all on the pitcher. He's the one that should have been suspended, not Donald.
I thought they both were going to get suspended.
And, well, they should. If you're going to suspend Donaldson, you got to suspend Musgrove, too.
I thought they both were going to get suspended.
I mean, but they didn't. So, you know, but you made a good, interesting point. It'd be interesting to see what happens when the lineup comes out today, whether Donaldson gets a day of rest, considering he's facing Joe Musgrove.
I think he will. You know? I think that's probably the smart thing to do. You've been fighting it. Just take it today. You're going to take a day off anyway.
Right.
So just take it. Just take the day.
Yeah, I think you maybe could see – you know, Austin Riley giving a day off, you might be able to see.
The young fella, he young. He don't need no day off. But this is kind of the road that Josh Donaldson's been on. Only thing you won't need him for if you need a pinch hitter, so he won't be available for that if he decides to take it. But I think that's the thing you do. I mean, hell, this normally you would give him a day off after the night game, so just give him a day off. Just let him chill out.
It's time to give Johan Camargo a few at-bats. It's time to give Charlie Culberson a few at-bats. You know, Matt Joyce got a chance the other day. Remember, keep in mind, you may have to make a decision here in the not-too-distant future between Matt Joyce, Charlie Culberson, Johan Camargo, and Ender Inciarte, and be only able to keep three of those four. And, you know, Matt Joyce has looked like lately the best of the bunch. And, you know, so, I mean, you may have to make a decision about that. So maybe getting another look at those guys, at your do-everything bench guys. In terms of this final game of the series, because even if you don't win today, you're still in first place when Philadelphia comes tomorrow night.
Yeah, and you get a chance to make some hay. I mean, that's the biggest thing, John. You know, you're at this point in the season where a lot of people kind of had, you know, there was some question marks about your bullpen, about your starting pitching. To be right where you are, not a bad spot to be in, and be in a tight NL race when you look all around the NL. It's pretty tight. It's pretty tight as far as teams, you know, vying for that division lead and division win. winning their division and everything. So to be right there in the mix, that's a good spot to be in this late in the game.
Of course, Mike Soroka didn't have his A-game stuff. He had his worst outing of the year. He did have a two-run single that turned out to be a huge hit by Mike Soroka in the game, but he gave up 5 runs and 10 hits, which is not typical Mike Soroka. At least it hasn't been so far this season. The offense kind of bailed him out. He left up 6-5, and then, of course, the Pirates eventually tied the game at 6, and then Luke Jackson gives up a solo home run in the top of the 9th inning before Austin Riley ties it. And, again, here we go with the whole closer issue with Luke Jackson. So we'll keep our eyes on this. But, again, Brazen Pirates, Julio Teheran, Joe Musgrove, noon game, Cobb County. Now, there's another event in Cobb County tonight. Atlanta United's playing tonight in Cobb County, but you cannot go to the game. All right, well, I'm telling you right now.
You ain't allowed.
You are not allowed to go to the game.
Because technically it wasn't supposed to be here, so why are you going?
Yeah.
It wasn't supposed to be here, so I just act like it ain't
here. Yeah, and I kind of wonder a little bit if that
has
something to do with
this. And watch it on the internet.
Yeah, it's streaming on ESPN+. Atlanta United is going to face Charleston. We'll get Jason Longshore in about 15 minutes to fill us in on how all this happened. They were supposed to play the U.S. Open Cup in Charleston, you know, and the field was bad. You know, so the field was, and if you saw the pictures, the field was horrible. So they're supposed to play the game, and then they couldn't find an alternate, and it rains, and this whole thing. And Atlanta United buses all the way to Charleston, South Carolina, has to turn around, come all the way back. And as they came back, the Charleston team followed them. They're going to play tonight at Fifth Third Bank Stadium in Kennesaw, but you can't go to the game because no fans are allowed. It's going to be an empty stadium game. They are going to stream it on ESPN+, but no fans are allowed.
Yeah, but they weren't supposed to be there anyway, like Atlanta United fans. It was supposed to be in Charlotte. Right?
No, in Charleston.
Charleston. I keep Charleston.
It's okay.
About the same. Yeah, I mean, but they weren't supposed to be there anyway, right?
No, they weren't supposed to be there anyway.
Okay, so it shouldn't be that. I know. Since it's here, you want to go, but, I mean, I don't have a problem with
that. I mean, no, I didn't. It's going to be interesting to
watch. To have a game where nobody's in the stands.
Right, nobody's in the stands.
But you got to get it done. You got to get it done to figure out the standings. Because I think that, listening to Mike Conte yesterday, that they have to get this before they can move on to the next round. They have
right,
to get
correct.
This game in before they move on to the next round.
And it's already messing up the schedule with what happened down in Charleston to begin with. And, of course, the game goes tonight. They're saying that, and this makes perfect sense, they're saying that it's too fast for them to get all the security personnel and all the personnel they need to run it. You know, to run a game, you have to have
a lot of people.
Right.
A lot of people.
And so they're saying when all of a sudden you make this, we just can't get the people here that will ensure the safety of the fans, you know, sell tickets, sell concessions, do all this stuff, parking and whatnot. We can't just throw it together in 24 hours. So they said, no, all right, no fans tonight, so we're just going to have a no-fan game, which I get. But also you can make a case for maybe the no-fan, and this is not the case, but you can make a case for the no-fan game being only fair to Charleston in some way, like we owe them anything, about the fact that this was supposed to be their home game, and if suddenly you're playing in front of, what is Fifth Third Bank seat, 8,500, something like that, like 8,000, you know, screaming five-stripers, 17s.
Just get the win, man.
Yeah, just get the win. Suddenly it becomes a real home game for Atlanta United when it was supposed to be your home game, but then again, you gaffed the whole thing, so maybe you should have paid that price. But again, tonight at Kennesaw State, but you don't go, okay? Don't show up. You can't get in.
Well, you can show up. They ain't gonna let you in.
Right.
You can go.
There'll be enough police to make sure you don't get in. Let's put it that way. So don't go to KSU tonight. But the game will be tonight at KSU. A couple other big things. Some of the headlines with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios on this very busy first place Thursday for the Braves. The Blues win the Cup. The Blues win the Cup. 4-1 last night. They won it in Boston in Game 7 for their first ever Stanley Cup title. Congratulations to St. Louis Blues, knocking off the Boston Bruins. And that means
one less parade in Boston,
which is a good thing. I mean, what was the
But
stat?
If you're a Bruins fan, can you really be upset? I mean, as many parades as you've been to in your lifetime? Yeah, I mean, you can't really be upset that you missed one. I don't think so. I don't think you can be upset because you missed one parade.
Well,
we'll get them in football season if the Pages play. They got a chance to win it again.
Now, who's going to get the parade in the NBA? Will it be Toronto? Will they secure a parade tonight with Game 6? Kevin Durant flew to New York to get an MRI, right?
Yeah.
And I went,
why?
Why?
Because he probably had a doctor in New York that he trusts.
Yeah, I guess that's it, because he didn't trust team doctors. I don't blame him.
Well, you know what's funny? I didn't read his mother's tweets, but it was kind of somebody says what she said was kind of cryptic, you know, as far as the doctors are concerned and everything like that. I mean, listen, I would say as a player, when a team of doctors tell you, hey, you know, they give you the yeah buts, And you know exactly what I'm talking about when you go to the doctor. You say, hey, doc, how is it? Well, you know, it could do this or it could do that. It could be right or it could be left. You know how doctors do.
Mm-hmm.
For you to tear your Achilles, go out there and play, tear your Achilles, and do everything that preventative maintenance trying to make that not happen and it happens, yeah, you go somewhere where you'll probably trust them a little bit more because you ain't trusting those doctors over
not,
there
yeah, not
with
no
the
more.
Warriors.
Not no more.
Until you earn that trust.
Right.
Trust
I mean, if they game cleared him and he said, okay, I feel fine. You game cleared me, I'm good. And then they find out maybe you weren't so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I say this again. When you have an injury, your body, like if your body's not in perfect tune and if you have an injury somewhere, your body tends to compensate and that's when something else happens.
Did you see the video, the close-up video of the back of his calf snapping?
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, listen, man, I've torn muscles before. I've had muscles come off the bone. And I know firsthand what it feels like. It's the weirdest feeling in the world. But like I said, John, it's one of those things where you go after you have it, you go where you're trusted. But if your body is compensating for some other, you know, muscle failure, that's when you tend to have injuries like that, and that's when muscles overwork themselves and they tear off the bone. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully, you know, his rehab, it's going to be at least a year rehab. He come back and he'll be good as new, better than ever.
Yeah, and Travis Schlenk seems to think that it's not going to hold teams off from
no, I don't think so either. I mean, the way that they do these surgeries now, remember back in the day, a knee surgery
mm-hmm.
would be the death knell for athletes.
Sure.
You know, because it was a big scar and everything.
Yeah, ask Gale Sayers.
Nowadays, they do it. They go in there, snip, snip. They go in there with the little cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And the surgery's not as what they say, evasive. Evasive like it used to be. Non-evasive. Something like that. Anyway, mm-hmm. I'm not a doctor. It don't matter. I'm not a doctor.
Yeah, you can scope it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take care of that.
The U.S. Open Golf Tournament begins today, Pebble Beach, California. Tiger Woods, a lot of people looking ahead to Tiger and Brooks Koepka, of course, who's won back-to-back U.S. Opens, going for his third U.S. Open win in a row. Nobody's done that. And Koepka, who's dominated golf four of the last eight majors. The good thing for golf here is if you're a golf fan, the first groups tee off in about an hour and a half at Pebble Beach, but the field is so big, 52 groups and 156 players, that the tee offs will take place all day long. And they're smart enough to do this. Brooks Koepka will be in a group with Francesco Molinari, and that group will tee off at 4:47 p.m. our time tonight. And then a little bit later on at 5:09 p.m. on the first tee, 5:09 p.m. on the first tee, Tiger Woods, Jordan Spieth, Justin Rose in the power threesome of the opening round of the U.S. Open, Tiger, Spieth, and Rose. 5:09 p.m. Eastern is when they tee off. That's when they start. So we're going to have 5 to 9 tonight. I'm going to have dinner early, pop down. I'm going to be watching the first tee off at 5:09, and that's when they begin, and we're going to be watching golf all night long.
I'll probably watch that. I'll probably watch a little bit of that. Oh, wait a minute. I got to drop my son off. I got to take my son to football practice. But I could probably watch it. I have this app on my phone. Maybe I can watch it on the app. Maybe I get the ESPN app, I can watch it on the app. But I'll probably watch that tee off just to see what Tiger Woods is going to do.
Right, so at primetime golf, it'll be interesting to see what kind of ratings they get for primetime golf on Fox tonight with Tiger Woods and Jordan Spieth and Justin Rose. This is one of those weird things where they're playing on the West Coast and they don't tee off until the afternoon, and so it's 2 o'clock out there, but 5 for us. So it is going to be a primetime live golf for us. Golf at night, which is going to be kind of interesting. So some of the headlines today, again, Braves at 12:10. Atlanta United plays tonight, also in Cobb County, in a game you can only watch on TV, and I'll have to be switching back and forth between that and golf. You know what? I could just use what I'm talking about. I could just use the app. I mean, I could have
Get the app. Get the app. We can see what's going on.
Yeah, I've got ESPN Plus on my app, so I just use it on the laptop and watch the fanless game. We'll talk a little bit about the fanless game coming up with Jason Longshore as we get into what exactly happened with this debacle of a U.S. Open game that was supposed to be played in Charleston and ended up being played in front of no fans in Kennesaw. Let's find out what the inside story really is with the expert Jason Longshore. Will join us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
Mornings with John and Hugh.
Yeah, that's right, G.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Busy night in Cobb County. Busy day in Cobb County today. Braves and Pirates play the final game of a four-game series. Braves going for the sweep, sending Julio Teheran to the mound against that guy that, and we would hope that every Braves fan boos that Joe Musgrove, some kind of fierce after what he did with the old Josh Donaldson thing the other day. Mike, you.
Yeah, I was booing with my mic off. Boo! And I didn't even know, John. I thought I hit the mic. See? I was booing.
Yeah,
boo!
Yeah. You got to give him the business if he's not going to be suspended. And then tonight, an unusual game. And I know some people have been asking on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line here about whether or not we're going to broadcast the game, 92.9. The game is going to broadcast the game. The answer is no. And it's not that we wouldn't want to. It's just that we don't have the rights to this event.
Yeah, this is something different. This is something totally different. And I know the guys that – Jason Longshore and Mike Conte, I'm pretty sure that they weren't happy about that. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, it's out of your hands at this point, and, you know, it's I think it's, what, a national broadcast or whatever?
Yeah, it's ESPN Plus.
Yeah,
it's,
so, yeah.
That Plus app thing.
Yeah.
And so they have the rights.
So it's out of their hands.
Yeah, it's out of their hands. Jason does join us. Jason Longshore, of course, part of the broadcast team for Atlanta United, and he is the analyst for the Five Stripes, and it's brought to you by Heineken 0.0, great taste, and zero alcohol. Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Good morning, guys. Doing well.
So, Jason, how does something like this happen, man? You know, you got this big game coming up in Charleston, and, you know, the weather was a factor, but how do you not take the proper steps to avoid something like this?
You know, I wish I knew, because I watched the game from Saturday in Charleston where they hosted Birmingham Legion in USL Championship match, and there was already sand down on the field in certain spots on Saturday, and that was before heavy rains were coming through. So I don't know how it gets to this point and there's not, you know, thoughts about an alternative venue earlier, because the pictures and video and, you know, full disclosure, I wasn't there. I wasn't on the field. I didn't see it firsthand, but pictures and video from that field, it did not look to be in good shape. And it you know, eventually the match commissioner ruled that it was an unplayable surface.
And certainly by the pictures we saw, it was totally unplayable unless you're playing beach soccer or something. It looked like, you know, a golf course out there with green and sand all over the place.
Yeah, the problem with that sand or quick dry or whatever it was is when you get more rain on top of it, it just gets super slick. And then you're inviting potential injury. And it's worse than what we saw in Columbus earlier this season. And You can't have a National Cup competition played on a field like that. So I'm glad they were able to figure out a way to get the game played and not have it ruled a forfeit or anything like that. I'm glad they're able to get the game in and get it done.
How weird is that going to be, though, to be in a stadium in Kennesaw, you know, playing basically for Atlanta United, playing at home, and not having anybody there, like just the media members and the TV crews? How weird is that going to be?
It's strange. I mean, you know, we've talked about it when it's come to playing in venues that don't get a big crowd, and Atlanta United kind of having to manufacture their own emotion a little bit. This is going to feel like a training session. And the hardest thing, I think, for any team in this situation, and Charleston will be going through it too, is not letting it be at practice speed. You have to push yourself to play at match speed and treat this as an important match. You just don't have that usual feedback that you get. You know, you don't have the fans cheering for you. You don't have the fans booing against you. You don't have any of that stuff that usually gives you a little bit of a push.
I'm talking with Jason Longshore, the Atlanta United analyst, live on the WayForward.com hotline after the debacle of this. Hey, Jason, one other question about this in regards to the U.S. Open Cup my understanding is that the Atlanta United did ask for a home game. I don't know if you know that that's the case or not. But
they applied to host,
right,
goes into a blind draw.
I got
so
you.
So the teams that have applied to host, because occasionally teams that don't control their own stadium dates, you know, won't be able to host on the dates that are available for that round. But in this situation, Atlanta United was in to host. They didn't win the draw to host.
I fully get this, and I understand that it's a national thing and it starts at the club level. This is, by the way, this is Atlanta United's first game in this event, but it's the fourth round of this event because you have club teams playing NASL teams, NASL teams playing USL teams, and they come up from those club teams all the way up to the biggest league, which, of course, is MLS. And so MLS already gets a bye to this point. So it has the, you know, cachet to be able to get byes all the way to the fourth round. Why doesn't it – if I'm the commissioner of the Major League Soccer after this, I think I go to the U.S. Open Cup at the end of this year and say, this is what's going to happen. when it comes to MLS teams, we get the right, there's no draw. We get the right of first refusal as to whether or not we're going to host the game, or we're just not going to take part.
Well, see, what's funny is you have a lot of people nationally who are saying the opposite. They're saying that it would be good for the game and the country to force MLS teams to go on the road in their first game. And in a lot of places, it's great. This is the first time I've ever seen anything like this at this round. Normally, when you have field issues or whatever in the Open Cup, it's in the very early rounds with amateur teams at local levels that don't have a suitable field. This is the first time I remember a situation like this. And look, Charleston has a stadium, and it's the oldest soccer-specific stadium in the modern era. The field has just really struggled this season specifically. I've seen issues with it before, but I've never seen it like this. I think it's an anomaly. I do think long-term for this tournament, and it's a, you know, it's a U.S. Soccer Federation tournament. I would love to see MLS teams come in a round earlier and create more potential matchups. Because this is the third year of Atlanta and Charleston. You'd love to see Atlanta play a team like Memphis, who played Orlando last night, or Nashville, or Chattanooga, or Greenville, South Carolina. Some different matchups, and I think that would grow the game better than the same matchups year after year.
With all that being said, the way that this whole situation was handled, the way that this decision came down at the absolute last minute not to play this match and now having to come back down here and play it, do you think that gives Atlanta United added incentive to go out there and beat the brakes off of Charleston?
Yeah, I think they're fired up for this because there were some things that have been said out of Charleston about Atlanta not wanting to play, and even Charleston players saying a few things about, well, the field was okay to play.
No, it wasn't. Like it. That's not true.
It didn't look like it. But they played – now, again, they played on Saturday. Now, they didn't have as much rain, but they played on Saturday with sand down all over the field in a league game. This is a different process altogether with U.S. Soccer in charge of it, not the referees on the field. And that's part of this whole process that everybody's been confused about, why the game was canceled, postponed, pushed back, who made the decision. It's a frustrating situation all the way around because Charleston is a club that has been around for over 25 years. They're one of the oldest teams in the country. And you normally expect great conditions at that stadium. I don't know what happened this year to get to that point other than just a lot of rain in a short period of time, but it feels like there's a bigger issue.
We're talking with Jason Longshore. So now no Barco, no Joseph. What kind of a lineup will we expect to watch on a stream tonight with no fans?
Well, if you saw the lineup for Charleston that was posted an hour before the supposed kickoff, you had Deion Pereira, Andrew Carlton, and Pity Martinez as your front three behind Romario Williams. I was excited to see that trio because those are three guys who are strong 1v1. They like to play with a lot of flair, and I'd love to see how those three could combine. I hope we get to see that trio this time. And if you go back and look at that lineup, it was about as first choice as you could get in this one with giving a guy like Carlton a game in place of somebody like Barco. Now, I hope you go with the same lineup. You don't have to. You can make changes because that game didn't start. So you can make changes in whatever way you want. I think Atlanta comes out strong because they'll know what the matchup will be. The next round for the tournament will be drawn in about an hour and a half at 10 o'clock. And Atlanta will know if they win what their next matchup will be and where it will be.
Well, we'll certainly pay attention to that too. We'll be monitoring for that bit of news. But again, tonight, no fans, no radio, and no live TV. You got to stream it. I know it's a weird situation. No game in Charleston. The whole thing is
bizarre. Tried everything possible to be able to bring this to you guys on radio. We tried every way to do it, and it's a deal where U.S. Soccer sold all of the broadcasting rights to ESPN+, and it's been a good thing for the tournament to watch the games. I think missing local radio is a bit of an oversight.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens tonight, and we'll bring you the very latest news. Of course, tomorrow morning we'll recap the game. Thanks, Jason. Do appreciate your taking a few minutes.
Appreciate it, guys.
Have a good one.
All righty, Jason Longshore joining us on the WaveForward.com hotline. And again, that is brought to you by Heineken 0.0, great taste and zero alcohol. Well, okay, let's get through this game. This is another reason that I know it's the fastest route to CONCACAF, but another reason I have yet to care about this tournament.
I like Charleston chirping like that, though. I hope you had that same, like the kids say, keep that same energy when we get out there on the pitch tonight. See what happens.
Mm-hmm. U.S. Open starts in about an hour and 10 minutes. Tiger tees off at 5 o'clock our time tonight. We'll talk with the executive director of the Tour Championship at Eastlake, Martin Stevenson. Talk to him a little bit about what he expects at this major and about the FedEx Cup, where Tiger had such an incredible moment last year, and what they can do to have that happen again this year. That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Now back to more John and Hugh.
And you need to listen
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Kia Studios. John and Hugh, about an hour from now.
It's an hour.
They'll be teeing off in the wee morning hours along Monterey Peninsula at Pebble Beach, opening round of the third major of the year. The U.S. Open gets underway. Brooks Koepka going for his third straight U.S. Open championship, but nobody's ever done that, and his fifth major in the last nine. He's going to be teeing off at about 4:47 this afternoon. Tiger going to tee off with
Tiger Woods, y'all. I just like saying it when you say Tiger Woods. I just like saying it.
Justin Rose and Jordan Spieth at 5:09 p.m. We're getting primetime golf on number one, 5-9 tonight. Martin Stevenson is the executive director of the Tour Championship, and he was, of course, the man who put on one hell of a show last year when Tiger was able to, speaking of Tiger and Justin Rose playing together and the FedEx Cup. Well, first off, welcome, Martin.
Well, thank you for having me.
You had a $10 million man, and really that was the moment that everybody kind of knew Tiger was back last year.
It was an historic day for the game of golf. To see the crowds, the way they reacted there in the shadows of the Eastlake Clubhouse, just 6 miles from where we're sitting right now, to have Tiger Woods come back to Atlanta for the first time in 5 years, win his 80th PGA Tour event, 5 years since he won his 79th, to see the crowds pour in on Sunday. Just an historic day for the game of golf, a great day for our city, and a phenomenal day for the Tour Championship.
I can see by your face, Mark, you really get stoked when it comes to golf. I mean, this is like this is your like Super Bowl for you, like doing this.
It is. We get the privilege to put on the season-ending event for the entire PGA Tour. Eastlake has been the exclusive home. The city of Atlanta, the state of Georgia, is the only place that a FedEx Cup champion has been crowned. I mean, how fun is that, Hugh? We get the top 30 players in the world coming here to Atlanta every year, competing on the home turf of Bobby Jones, where he played his first and last round of golf at Eastlake Golf Club. Just how cool is that? That sounds really cool.
So about that, tonight, you know, you got Tiger Woods teeing off at almost in prime time. What is that going to mean for golf? First of all, is this the first time that it's ever been done like this? And if it is, what does that mean for golf being in prime time like this?
So it's not the first time golf's been in prime time. Anytime we have majors like the U.S. Open playing out on the West Coast, we here on the East Coast get the benefit of that prime time coverage. What is new this year is the big schedule change. Mm-hmm. The PGA Tour, we have launched a brand new schedule that has set up a wonderful cadence of monster global events every single month, beginning with the Players' Championship down at TPC Sawgrass in March and culminating here in August with Eastlake and the Tour Championship. So now the golf has got this incredible season of in March you roll into the Players, April step into the Masters, obviously the PGA Championship now in May. We're enjoying the U.S. Open now in June this month. We've got the Open Championship next month, and then the FedEx Cup playoffs begin in August, obviously culminating with the FedEx Cup, crowning the FedEx Cup champion here at Eastlake in August.
So what are your expectations for Tiger tonight?
Well, if we look back at his track record at Pebble, it's got to be pretty good, right? We've been seeing a lot of the replays of what he did in 2000, winning by 15 strokes, still a record in a major. He's playing really, really well right now. But look, there's a lot of storylines happening. You look at, in fact, John, you've been talking about Brooks Koepka trying to become the what will actually be the second man to win the U.S. Open three times in a row. Now, it's been a long time since this happened. Little known Willie Anderson back from 1903 to 1905.
All right, okay. You know, we're playing with gutta percha balls and, you know, on fields that the sheep, you know, trim. Come on, stop.
No, it's the storylines this week. Obviously, Tiger's a great one, chasing after his 16th major, looking to tie Sam Snead with 82 PGA Tour wins. You've got Phil Mickelson still seeking that career Grand Slam where he's had tremendous success at Pebble. You've got, obviously, Koepka that we talked about trying to win his third U.S. Open in a row. You've got Rory, who's coming off after winning by a touchdown at the Canadian Open and playing incredibly well this season. There's just so many great storylines, so many great players lining up, and we're excited to see what happens this week and then ultimately find out who's going to be in the top 30 to make it here for the Tour Championship.
Martin Stevenson is the executive director of the Tour Championship. Talk a little bit of golf ahead of the U.S. Open beginning in about an hour from now. Martin, to that new schedule here, You have the four majors, but by moving the Tour Championship up from September into August, you get the added benefit of avoiding, you know, the start of the football season for the most part, the NFL season. And so now you have, you know, this August date, and of course the players have always considered the Players' Championship to be a quasi-major anyway. And it makes almost de facto six majors, almost. And with moving it up and combined with the fact that did last year with Tiger winning, as you talked about earlier, so electric, with Tiger winning, did it finally, fans finally kind of grasp on the concept of the Tour Championship? Because it's been kind of ethereal on how the points work, but at least to the effect that, oh, this is a really big deal. Did it take another level up?
John, it was a perfect storm to have Tiger win the event the way he did, to have that as our springboard into our new date. And let's take a look at the date right now. The big reason we do this on the PGA Tour and us here in Atlanta with the Tour Championship are really the biggest beneficiaries of the schedule change. We now get to own August. You know, in the past, we our event has been held in the third week of September. It's a very cluttered, busy schedule, not just from a sports event landscape, but just in Atlanta in general. Now we get to move up to the weekend before Labor Day. The kids are already back in school. And if you look at the events that were happening during the week of the tournament last year compared to this year, it's almost 340,000 paid sporting event tickets essentially go away. This past year in 2018, when we saw that incredible moment with Tiger Woods, some people forget, Falcons had a 1 o'clock kick against the Saints in Mercedes-Benz. Georgia Tech was hosting Clemson down in the flats on Saturday. The Braves had a home game every single day that our gates were open. Atlanta United had a home game. This year, United's out of town. The Atlanta Braves have got a home game on Wednesday and Thursday against the Marlins. Then they're hitting the road. Obviously, the Falcons have a preseason game, but we're not in season, and college football hadn't started yet. So now, for the city of Atlanta, the Tour Championship really gets to stake the main stage and just own that third week, which is just going to be wonderful for the event, wonderful for the city, and wonderful for, obviously, our beneficiating charities, the East Lake Foundation First Tee.
That's going to be great.
So, Martin, how much do you get feedback from, like, the players after they play in the tournament, and how much of that feedback do you actually use to make the tournament a lot better?
Well, we, you know, a lot of that goes through our rules officials, our agronomists, but East Lake continues to get top marks. Our players have said it consistently through the years that East Lake provides some of the best putting surface, the best greens that they get to play all year. Ralph Keppel and Chad Parker, the team at East Lake, have that course in perfect condition, it seems like, every single year. So the reviews from the players are pretty easy. They love the course. It's a phenomenal golf course. So that's something very special that the players love to play here in Atlanta.
Martin Stevenson is the executive director of the Tour Championship, which this week will be the third week in August. And again, the new schedule, you have a major event, now the four majors, but really six, with the TPC, which the players down at Sawgrass, that's the Island Green Tournament, considered to be a major in a manner of speaking. You had Rory win that event. You had Koepka win. You had Tiger win, then Koepka win. And so you have, now you're coming into this third major, but the fourth big event. By the time it gets to you, you have the four majors in hand, you have the TPC. It's almost like, in a way, fans are going to, I think this year, because of the early time and because of the way it's staged up, you could have, you know, the Tour Championship points leader, three or four different major winners. I mean, it's almost like the World Series, and you can really, it'll all start to come together. Oh, this is for all the marbles now because of the $10 million that's on the line.
Well, and this year it's actually $15
million. Oh,
a lot of money.
A big change in addition to the schedule change. Another big announcement this year was actually the way we're going to do the strokes system versus the point system. You had mentioned earlier, John, about how it kind of gets confusing with
right.
The FedEx Cup points. So this year, in addition to the bonus prize to our winner of the FedEx Cup, and this year instead of $10 million, they'll actually be winning $15 million
okay.
on Sunday here at East Lake. When the top 30 players make it to Atlanta, we will reset the top 30, and instead of being points, will now be strokes, which will give every single player a chance at winning the FedEx Cup by winning the Tour Championship. So the way it'll work is the leader coming in, so last year was Bryson DeChambeau, he would have started the tournament at 10 under par, and then it works all the way down to basically players 26 through 30 starting at even par. And then once you tee it up and go. And so for the fans watching at home, our fans on the grounds at East Lake, it's very simple. Just look at the leaderboard. You'll be able to see what's happening. And
so there'll be two leaderboards, in effect, one for the tournament and one for the Tour Championship.
Just one leaderboard. That's all we're going to be looking
really?
At. So we will have our one champion, and once we tee it off, just tee it up and go.
Wow.
And it'll make it very, very easy for fans to be able to understand what's happening. Whereas last year, it was, well, Justin Rose
finishes 2-4
higher.
I got you now.
We,
okay,
we eliminate the points and make it right. much simpler. And to put it into a real-life example, this past year, if you recall, Tiger Woods just needed to make, I believe at the time, a bogey to win the Tour Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in the greenside bunker and two on the par five right there in front of the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. Put it up on the green, had an 8-foot birdie putt. He lagged it up to about an inch and tapped in and won the tournament, and the place went wild. Well, under the new format, if we had had it in place last year, that birdie putt that Tiger Woods had would have been to tie Justin Rose to go into a playoff for the FedEx Cup. So that's a very real live example of what the strokes system works versus the points.
So, Martin, I've been thinking about – I have some golf clubs, and I've had it for years. But right now they're home for spiders. And I got into it with the rest of my teammates back in the day, and they've kind of surpassed me. It's gotten to a point where, you know, I'm a little bit embarrassed to go out there and play because they're playing so serious. So how can I – do you have, like, a class or something that I could take just to get back into it and learn how to play before I actually go out there on the golf course? Because now, since I'm a little older, I'm starting to get invited to a lot of golf tournaments, and I don't want to go because I can't play.
So, Hugh, my best advice to you is just pick it up. Have fun. And I got a little secret for you. No one's really that good at golf. It's okay.
I can't tell. I cannot tell. You know, John Freaky over here is talking about his golf game. Every time he goes in the bullpen, he's swinging the golf club and everything. So I'm a little intimidated. Like, I got the clubs, but I'm a little intimidated about going out there and, like, having a bad showing or talking too much.
So we need to get you set up, and we'll get you some lessons to get you comfortable out there.
Yeah, okay. That would be a good thing. Right, exactly. Martin Stevenson, Tour Championship website for the fans to begin to take a look at possibly getting tickets.
Yes, please. Go to tourchampionship.com. We've got all of our ticket information up. For everyone out there, go ahead and get your tickets now. Our grounds ticket and Ultra Club tickets prices will increase on Monday, June 17th. So let's go ahead and get our tickets this weekend if you can. Again, tourchampionship.com. Our grounds tickets are actually going to be moving to a mobile ticket this year, which we're very excited about. So go to tourchampionship.com. All the information's there, and go ahead and get your tickets for this August 21st to the 25th.
And I'm so excited for the tournament again this year. Thanks, Martin. Always, we'll talk to you before
you're the man.
Tournament.
Thank you.
Hawks fans, you can join 92.9 The Game in the Atlanta Hawks Thursday, June 20th. That is a week from tonight at State Farm Arena, starting at 7 for the draft party. Mike Conley, Andy Bucker will be broadcasting live 7 to 10, breaking down the draft. State Farm Arena for the draft party. Space is limited, so you got to get tickets now. Go to our website, 929thegame.com/events, 929thegame.com/events to get tickets for the Hawks draft party. When we get back in a moment, I'll update you on the headlines as we get ready for the U.S. Open and more with John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.